Hi, Steve Cooper, and welcome to another Rank Success broadcast or podcast, whatever you wish to call it or know it as. And today I have my colleague Adrian, who has previously interviewed me. Some people have said they would like to listen to me being interviewed. And so with that in mind, this is our second interview where Adrian's going to pitch some questions to me about the topic of coaching and officers' attitudes or people's attitudes to it. And we're just going to see where this goes. But the topic and the nature and the theme of this is around coaching. So I'll hand over to Adrian and he can take it from here.
Hello, thanks Steve. I've got another question for you that may we'll explore some other areas around coaching, but this is a good starter question. Why is it that stigmas still persist around coaching support among the federated ranks?
Okay, it's a good question, and obviously I knew you were going to ask something like that. So you use the word stigma and the federated ranks, and I think coaching goes a whole lot broader than that, but we're going to talk about it in the context of supporting officers who want to get promoted, who aspire to get promoted, and who have perhaps just got qualified, passed their exam. And this, I think, 2023 is the first year that people in that position can actually go for a promotion selection process, whatever that looks like in their force, twice. So they can take the exam twice to get qualified. So potentially they'll have the opportunity for a board. And the thing with the coaching is it's about thinking about that a long way before. So when you make that decision to become a leader, if you think you've got what it takes to lead other people and you want to take some action towards doing that, the exam is one stage. And you know, you've got to have some energy, some drive, some enthusiasm, some commitment to do that. And hats off to people that pass it, and there's lots of criticisms around that. But once you've got that under your belt, that's the time really to start thinking about developing yourself beyond that, ready for a leadership position. So it's not just coaching for a board or coaching for a selection process. It's about coaching you to develop and to learn and to grow as a leader and what that looks like. And for me, having done the coaching at various levels, including the executive coaching qualification with the City and Guilds, the level 7 qualification, I've done a lot of the theory, and I've helped a lot of people or supported a lot of people to think about going for promotion, to the point where, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of them, and you can see that on my testimonials page, who have been successful. Now, I didn't get them promoted. They got themselves promoted, and one of the ways they can do that is by coaching themselves. And whatever coaching means to people, and there's lots and lots of definitions about it, I've written blogs about it. To me, essentially, it's about a supportive conversation with a purpose. And there are lots of models around coaching, so sometimes we follow a model if I'm coaching people, and sometimes we don't necessarily follow one. We keep it loose and flexible. But having those models, having that theory, having those like mnemonics in your head help me to help people think about the opportunities they have going forward for promotion. And coaching to me is essentially a supportive conversation. Now, there are, come back to your second point around stigmas, I think some people do have thoughts around what coaching is and what it isn't. Some people have a high degree of ignorance around it, so they have no idea what it is at all, and so that's perhaps where some of the ideas come from, that coaching is cheating, which is what some people allege or some people think around candidates who are coached or mentored or supported to be successful. And so I think stigmas is probably, it's changing. There's a lot of cops now who understand the value of coaching at lots of different levels for lots of different reasons. There's coaching that's been introduced by the College of Policing, and I think at the end of the day it comes down to, for me, a conversation with a purpose, a supportive conversation to help people achieve their goals, whatever they are, whether they are end goals to be a senior officer, or process goals, the next step on the promotion ladder. And you know, it's not just about policing either. You can coach people. There's life coaches, business coaches, all kinds of coaches. You name it, there's a coach for it probably. But essentially, to me, it's around a supportive conversation to help people to think and to approach the process they have, whatever that looks like, that means that they can convert their exam and their leadership aspirations into promotion success.
Thank you. That's a good kind of rounded coverage of what coaching is, a good introduction about it. You touched on the kind of stigma and some of the different kinds of stigma that might exist. So, for example, you mentioned how some people view it as cheating, others are ignorant of it. Do you can you expand a bit more about why do you think some police officers consider it cheating? Is it giving people quite an advantage, and is that a bit of an antiquated view, considering that in other industries coaching is seen as essential and you can't progress if unless you've had some coaching, particularly at the executive level, like you mentioned before about the different levels of coaching?
I think essentially it's about being coachable. So are you open to coaching as an individual? And if someone takes their own CPD, their own continuous personal or professional development seriously, they're going to want to try different things. So, you know, some people will try, you know, getting feedback from wherever that is, whatever that looks like, line managers, 360 degrees, strengths tests, online tests, assessment tests, psychometric tests. It's all feedback. But essentially, you have to be coachable or have an open attitude towards coaching. And people are sometimes, when I say ignorant, what I mean is they're probably fearful of it. They don't know what it is. They're too busy to go find out. Life coaching, you know, means different things to different people. Essentially for me, it's about niching down, focusing right down on what it is that you want to achieve. And let's get busy doing that. Let's get busy. Now, there are a number of ways in which you can do that. And I don't need to physically be present. And what I mean by that is I offer and provide and sell online digital toolkits bespoke to the relevant ranks that people go for. So if they're going, if you're going for constable to sergeant, there's a bespoke toolkit, thinking toolkit, to help you coach yourself, ask yourself questions that you might not know the answers to or have never thought from different perspectives around. There are other toolkits for sergeant to inspector and chief inspector, so that incorporates that next jump in the rank structure, or those two jumps, but what I mean is from the sergeant, the supervisory rank, into the inspecting ranks, if you like, and looking at what those mean, how you do that, how you might need to change your thinking, how you might need to change your behaviors or develop your behaviors to meet the expectations of that role and that position and that rank, however you choose to think about it. So if you are someone who is reluctant, if you like, or hesitant to explore coaching, then you know, you can start with free guides. You don't even have to spend any money. You can download a free guide, 50 pages, to say, you know, to help you think around seven things that promotion boards look for in candidates. And that's a great start. And I often find that people who do that almost immediately download a bespoke toolkit for themselves, because it connects, it gets them thinking, and that's the whole idea, is about thinking what this challenge might mean for you, what this change, what this step up in leadership might mean for you. And the more you learn about that, and the more you discover about yourself around that process, but ultimately a continuous journey through those ranks, if that's your promotion journey, the better leader, supervisor, manager you will be for your teams. And that's essentially what it's about. But you can go and download the toolkit straight away. There are many, many people on the testimonials on my page that I've never met, many, many of them. And the only reason I know who they are is because they kindly sent me an email afterwards to say, hey, I downloaded your toolkit, Steve. Really changed my perspective on some things, or as some people say, as you'll see, completely transformed the way I approach the board. So clearly there is something about coaching, or asking yourself questions, who, what, when, where, why, how, just to keep you thinking. And if you keep thinking, your kind of confidence is growing incrementally. And when you're confident, most people are unstoppable when they're confident. And few people are confident with promotion processes, thinking about them, getting themselves ready for them, understanding how to even start preparing for one. So coaching can help with all of those things. And I think, you know, stigmas or people's thoughts around getting help can sometimes be seen, if you like. I suppose it's just a team talk, individuals talk, it's cheating. Out of all the candidates who are successful this year, you know, that person's had help, that person's had coaching, that person's had mentoring. And that's why I think sometimes, and here's the interesting perspective for me, Aid, is, you know, some people when they when they've had coaching and when they've had support, they don't want to tell anyone else about it
because of that stigma.
Yeah, so when you talk about stigma, perhaps that's the best way. That I suppose in one way you could describe, my first thoughts are, it's an ugly side of human behavior. Is it an ugly side of policing?
Do you mean the human behavior of just jealousy, where people see others that have develop themselves in that way, maybe they hadn't thought to do it or hadn't had the opportunity, so they see it as cheating, whereas others might see it as essential self-development?
Yeah, I think so, but I think the point being is sometimes people are happy to shout it from the rooftops, hey, I've had some support and I recommend Rank Success and its products and videos and it all helped me, and you'll see those kind of comments on my testimonials as well. Steve, I've been on training this week. I've had a testimonial this week. I've been on training this week with a load of sergeant candidates who will be going for inspector, and they're all now signposted to your site, to your products, because that individual understands. And that individual, I never met that individual. They purchased the toolkits, coached themselves, thought for themselves, and come out of the board successful, and that individual's happy to talk about it. Conversely, there are lots of people who prepare what I call in stealth mode, ninja mode, if you like. They download my toolkits, they crack on, they do the hard work, they sort themselves out with the study times schedule, they protect their time, they clear their diary, and they start incrementally working through those toolkits. So what's the role that you're going for? Can you talk about it for 5 minutes? Can you talk about yourself in the context of leadership for 5 minutes? What are your gaps? What are your strengths? Where do you need to develop? What's your attitude to stress? How do you deal with stress? Because that's an important question.
So those all sound like very relevant self-development things that if people knew about, maybe they wouldn't view it as cheating, because it's not about coaching as in telling people the answers, and if they ask this, then you should answer that. It sounds more like getting people prepared so that they understand themselves, understand the process, understand the role, to get the advantage, not being told simply how to do something as a passing an exam type thing, as a black and white a pass or fail thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, passing the exam is, there's a right or wrong answer with the exam. It's a different part of your brain. It's a different way to study and prepare. When you get assessed for promotion, and whatever the wider arguments about them, and you know the rumours are promotion processes are changing, well, that's not news.
Yeah.
It's news to today's candidates who are hungry for success, who want to get on and whatever that looks like, but it's old news. You know, promotion processes are changing. Well, they've been changing for the last umpteen years. Whatever the new thing in town is at the moment, the CVF, the Competency and Values Framework, is the current assessment framework in town. That comes under the National Police Promotion Framework, and police organisations can't really step outside of that at the moment, because the College of Policing is the professional lead. They do issue the edicts, the guidance, the rules, if you like, by which, and the advice. But I think within that, forces do kind of take poetic license. They do stretch the rules as far as they're concerned to support their candidates. But I think the biggest thing that candidates can do, because this is about coaching, is to ask themselves questions until they can't think of any other questions that actually challenge them. Now, that is a great kind of attitude to approach a board with. You know, what questions might they ask me? Well, in my digital toolkits, there's a question, practice question bank. By the time you've been around and asked questions around, you know, which questions are you asked on your board? What are the common ones asked on your board? of all the competencies, or of the six competencies under the competency and values framework and the values that are bespoke to your force or policing, what questions can you think about that? Well, that can be quite an exhausting process. So I've kind of short-circuited that for people. But it's about preparing yourself for that. So answering questions about yourself, so introspective questions, which is what I cover in my guides. You know, what kind of person are you? What kind of police officer are you? What kind of leader are you?
What would you say would be the most powerful question anyone could ask about themselves?
Well, I would look at Rob Goffey and Gareth Jones' book, which is called Why Should Anyone Be Led By You? And that is what they pose as academically and practically one of the hardest questions that anybody can actually, if they take the appropriate thinking time and they try and answer and respond to that properly, that's a deeply introspective question. And I think it's a fantastic one for aspiring promotion candidates to just sit down and ponder on a piece of paper, because some people, everybody's different. I've tried this on my masterclasses, and if you're listening to this and you're in time, the next one is the 30th of September 2023 at the National Motorcycle Museum, and details are on my site. But yeah, if you focus in on where you want to be and how you're going to get there, that's essentially what coaching is about at the end of the day. And having a coach is someone who is, I like the description of a thinking partner. So whether I'm present in the room with you, or you're listening to a free podcast, or a reading a free blog, or you're working your way through my toolkits, watching the recorded version of the masterclass if you want to listen and watch that and play it back, all of it helps you raise questions, but also to respond to questions, fill your gaps, if you like. So whether they're knowledge or experience gaps, and all of those add up to being more confident. And when you're confident, you're happy to walk into a assessment centre, a briefing, or a presentation, or an interview, or any variation of those, because you've done the work beforehand. And that's where the coaching comes in, really, is spending that time, giving yourself that protected time to work through this and having some structure and focus to it. And funnily enough, we go back to what we talked about. Some of the reasons why people think it's cheating is because everybody, if you had money to put down on who the candidates are, everybody knows who the strong candidates are when they go into boards. Or they think they know who the strong candidates are when they go into boards. Why? Because they work with them. They like them. They are, on the face of it, good leaders, practically good leaders. And when the boards come out, there are people that they don't know, who have never had a chance to do any acting, who have never had a chance to do any temperature. Nobody knows them. They're complete unknowns. They may be the individuals I'm talking about who prepare in stealth mode. They haven't told anybody. But on the QT, on the quiet, they made a commitment to themselves to smash this promotion board, and they come out and they do it. And everybody else sits down and goes, no. How come, you know, Joe Smith or Mary Finnegan hasn't got through the... They were absolute certs. I had all my money on them, on the nose to win. And they didn't get through. Who the hell, who's that? And who's he? Who's she? How did they get through the boards? And that's where, you know, that's where you get into the kind of some of the not everybody wants you to do well. It's one of the things that I try and cite people on. You want yourself to do well. Your family want you to do well. You know, your best friend in policing might want you to do well. It's part of life that actually not everybody who might pretend otherwise wants you to do well.
So those people that are recognised as good practical leaders, they've done the acting and temporary, they've shown themselves, but they struggle with the promotion process. How does coaching help them? Like, for example, maybe the more traditional understanding of coaching in terms of a one-to-one conversation.
Well, there's three things. It raises their awareness, first of all. It raises their awareness around policing issues, policing challenges, rather than the day job that they are good at and commit to. And maybe they've only got vision of what's going on in their station, in their area, in their force, you know, if they're lucky. And nothing wider than that, nothing broader than that. They've done no reading. So it's a narrow kind of area of awareness. And it builds your confidence. So coaching can help build your confidence. Because
how does it build confidence?
Because it closes your gaps. So awareness is one, you know. Knowledge, as I talked about earlier on, about the role. Confidence is a gap, a massive gap. If you're not confident, how can you go for promotion and expect to give your best? It's a tough process. It's really tough. And that's why I think, together with the fact that, you know, sometimes whatever the process looks like in forces, generally you're under time pressure, and most cops are unwittingly, I suppose, they either unwittingly or deliberately or consciously sabotage their own promotion chances by choosing to do things with their time that are not valuable. So one of those examples is some people will sit down, and I know they've done it, someone's done it recently, and it's an age-old thing when I said about promotion processes changing. Printed off most of their force policies in the honest but mistaken belief that reading through those with a highlighter pen will help them get through a promotion board. I can see how they did it. It's out of that state of ignorance that I talked about. It's nothing to do with that. Yes, you have to be aware of policies, particularly ones around, you know, leadership, so equality and diversity. Where's your force on that? Where's the law on that? So what are your responsibilities as a leader, as a manager, as a supervisor around that? How are you going to support people back into the workplace after maternity leave? How are you going to deal with people issues, so discipline issues that are linked to the role? So understanding those issues and a number of others are important, but you don't need to know every force policy. So some people will go off and invest all their time and energy, and understandably, when they crash and burn in a promotion process, they look back, as I encourage them to do, and go, what didn't you do? Or first of all, what did your feedback say? Because that's a great place to start. And then afterwards, you know, what else could you do differently?
So it helps
to get better this time.
So it helps them identify where, raise their awareness and close gaps, including the gaps in terms of, as you alluded, with policies, the gaps to know where's best to prepare, and the concepts they need to understand for a leadership position, not necessarily all the boring, tediously written stuff which policies tend to be.
Yeah, and this is where when I alluded to models earlier on, coaching incorporates models. You can coach and structure a coaching conversation around models, and one of the most popular ones, one of the most successful ones, is GROW, the GROW model. And some people have heard of it, some people haven't heard of it, but it's a great way for you to coach yourself. And what it stands for is goal. What's your goal? What is your goal? What do you want to achieve? You know, when do you want to achieve it by? And the R of that is reality. Okay, reality check. What's the reality for you right now in terms of where you are to where you want to be, that goal you just identified or espoused? Options is another one. That's the next part of the mnemonic, if you like, called the model. Options. What options do you have? And sometimes when I sit down with people and I ask them that question, well, okay, so what options do you have to move forward with this? And sometimes they very limited amount of options. So I might say, would you like me to suggest some options? Yes, please, yeah, so we'll do that. Ah, got what you mean now. So-and-so. Okay, should we talk about another option? Okay, and another one, and another one. Okay, can you give me another one, and another one, and another one?
So that's,
and before
the value,
you know,
of that
it,
interpersonal,
yeah,
approach,
and
where
before
you're challenging,
you know it,
people.
Yeah, and before you know it, you've got the goal, the reality for them at the moment, the options that they have to go away and take action, and then the W at the end is, okay, what will you do? Because coaching's about action. It's not just a conversation. It's about getting a person to understand that there's a course of action that if they commit to, and I can't make them do that. That's when we talk about coachability. We can have that supportive conversation, but ultimately coaching is about taking action. So that may be something like, okay, I get it. Through this conversation, I've identified that my reality is pretty challenging. There's a number of gaps we've identified. I don't know the role. I don't know the challenges facing my force. I don't know the answer to that question you asked me yet, but most of that can be filled as gaps, if you like, by downloading a digital toolkit, working through it. And when you pop up on the other side of that, and that may be a couple of weeks, a couple of months, Maybe then, as some people are, they're actually ready for a proper coaching conversation. And guess what? They've got a whole load of different questions than
so
the
more refinement than
absolutely.
Direction or just finding a basic direction.
Absolutely.
They know the direction and then they're refining their understanding to hone it.
So rather than what's the role, which, you know, I ask people and that's a gap and they don't know, it might be, Steve, you know, you said about this aspect of the role. What's an example of that? How might that play out in an assessment scenario? Oh, right, okay. And then we can talk about that. And we can talk about, so the best way to cover that is... And people go away thinking and their brain's on fire, if you like. Mm-hmm. And if you're coachable, you have courage. You have courage to find help. You have courage to at least explore. You're putting yourself forward for a leadership position. And part of that means you're going to have expectations. So one of the things I say to people, what are the expectations? What expectations do you have of yourself in this role? What expectations do you think your team will have of you as a newly promoted leader? What expectations do you think the public will have of you in that particular role or position? What expectations do you think your senior leaders and managers will have of you in that position? That's just one little element or dimension that we might go through to help raise someone's awareness so they understand that essentially if you're going for a sergeant, you're going for a team leader's position, so the dynamic is around that.
So is that really the difference when, because you've described coaching as more like a process that can, if you've got the mindset and coachability, you can do it either, you can self-coach, you can be coached through reading materials, or you can have coaching one-to-one. But most people might, or I've previously certainly understood coaching to be more of a one-to-one conversation. But is that what the difference is for the one-to-one, where you can actually personalize it more and go down those avenues that you wouldn't necessarily if you're trying to do it for yourself and coming up with your own ideas or going through written materials that have already been developed?
You can do group coaching, you can do team coaching. I do masterclasses, so that's converting the content of the guides into verbal Q&A or posing questions for people to think about or asking them that question, as I have done on masterclasses. You know, why should anyone be led by you? And it's quite interesting when you do things like that, because when I ask people, I used to do it on my masterclasses, I don't do it now. I do encourage people to kind of go away and work with it, but... The Rob Goffey and Garth Jones aspect around that is about coming back to authenticity. The key theme in the book is around being an authentic leader and understanding what makes you that authentic leader. So when I pose the question to people and give them a blank piece of paper, as I used to, and say, well, there you go. Well, it's not blank. It's got that question written on it. And I say, okay, you've got 5 or 10 minutes now to just sit down and think through this question. Some people have written 4 sides of A4 in that 10 minutes to answer that question. Other people are staring off out the window into space and haven't put a word on it. Everybody's different. Everybody approaches it different. Some people want time to think.
It is a provocative question, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think it's quite right. But I think that both of those approaches are okay. They're both okay, because some people say, hey, I've got a whole load of noise going on in my head that's been triggered as a result of that I need to get all my thoughts down and then sit down, read them through, reflect them, you know, summarise them, put them into themes. That's how some people work. Other people say, I'm still thinking about the question. Wow, you know, it's still resonating in my head. And actually, others will think, I have no idea why anybody should be led by me.
Yeah, you can imagine two different... you've previously talked before about and blogged about imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And how to overcome it. Or some methods for that. I can imagine the difference between those with imposter syndrome might interpret that question, why should anyone be led by you? They might kind of think, oh God, why should anyone be led by me? So I might give up now. And others might see it as a challenge to list all their positive traits.
Okay.
Is that something you see with different people and how they...
Yes. Absolutely, but I think, you know, with the imposter syndrome, that's present. It's present, I believe, in everyone. There are probably a few people walking around that actually are probably not very emotionally intelligent, but there are people, everybody that I've kind of spoken to, or many of the people I've spoken to, have, whether they explicitly say it or whether we discover it or whether they you know, they may admit to it at some stage, but it happens with all ranks imposter syndrome, particularly if you get those shiny new stripes on your shoulder. And sometimes just thinking about getting those shiny stripes on your shoulder, you know, self-doubt, and I've alluded to this, and there's content in my guides around stinking thinking, which Zig Ziglar labelled stinking thinking, which is around how people sometimes think, you know, I'm not good enough, there's other people, there's too many people going for promotion this year. And, you know, if you're not good enough, well, reframe that, I can get better, you know. There's no one to help, you know. Well, there are people to help, you just have to find them. And there is help and support available, but you'll see inspectors, chief inspectors allude in the testimonials and actually use that term, imposter syndrome. They doubt themselves, they doubt their ability, and they have to overcome it. And one of the ways to overcome it is to, you know, swat up on what works. And I think out of everything that I'm probably coming to an understanding of, in terms of what I've been doing, I've been doing this for nearly 10 years now, I think we're getting somewhere near to what works, because I've been listening to so many people in terms of what worked for them, been through so many force changes in so many forces around promotion selection processes, and it's about to change again. And to have kept a body of work, to have kept some coaching guides, self-coaching guides, coaching material, supportive materials in the sphere for cops to tap into 24/7, 365, anytime they've got a process without talking to me, is something I'm particularly proud of, because clearly it works.
So it's like the skeleton key, regardless of what the different force processes or frameworks are.
Yeah, because much of the content of it is transferable. I mean, it's one of the things I'm doing at the moment is working on a police staff guide, and I've worked with people doing their Admiralty Board to join the Royal Navy, young lads joining the Royal Navy as officers, and it's the same thing. There's a lot of transferability around developing yourself, around developing yourself as a leader, thinking about as a leader, looking at what your organisation does and represents and what the expectations are of people. So picking up the expectations thing again, what do the public expect of police officers? What are some of the things that you might need to be aware of in terms of recent events, in terms of reports on policing, independent reports into policing? How do you access those? Where can you find them? Which ones are the best? Because reading is something cops don't have time to do. And I know enough of them have told me I don't have time to read. So what I try and do is say, well, if you've got some prioritised time, some focused time and finite time, and you want to use it perhaps while you are commuting into work or driving home from work, then you can do that with the content that I offer, which is a recorded promotion masterclass video. So you can sit and watch that, stop, start it, replay it if you want to. Same with the guides, flick through them to the relevant pages and bits of content, leadership styles, effective delegation, all the things that you might need to talk about, or at least let a promotion panel have a conversation with you about, is contained in that niche bit of information. So it's a bit like walking around with the right tool for the right process, really. So if you've coached yourself, if you've asked yourself all those questions, you understand yourself, you understand the role, and in terms of what I call forward-facing questions, what will you do? How will you deal with this kind of situation? Well, the secret to unlocking all of those is to do the work in advance, do that depth and breadth of preparation that enables you to have an impressive conversation, professional conversation with a promotion panel. And it's a pleasure for them to do that, to come across somebody who's sort of well prepared.
I think that's really covered well. We started with asking about the stigma, and that's explored a whole heap of other avenues. That's a really interesting, thank you. I've got no further questions on this.
Okay, well, we'll wrap that one up then, Ed. I think for anybody that wants to play that back, we've covered a fair bit of ground there. But if I haven't covered it, it's generally on my podcasts, on my toolkits, or so policepromotion.blog, or YouTube video. There'll be a YouTube short video on it. I'm trying to build up that as a patchwork of knowledge for officers to dip in and out of, perhaps while they're, you know, on nights, or they've got a bit of downtime for those that have it. But however they want to prepare, and even if they don't have the available cash at the time, there's a whole load of information that they can start coaching themselves on for free on my site.
Will you put the links in the description of this podcast and the Goffey and Jones book, maybe?
Yeah, put them all underneath. And I think I've done a short book review on YouTube as well of that anyway. So, yeah, we'll wrap this one up, and hopefully it's enjoyable for those that have listened. Thanks for listening. Thank you.